My story today illustrates the theory that the female of the species can, when driven to it, be deadlier than the male. It also reveals a particular aspect of the macabre that I have noted before. It often flourishes in the most unlikely setting. Jasmine Lodge was perched on a prettily wooded hillside in the south of Ireland, overlooking the roofs of a lively garrison town. The tale of two sisters, Ethel and Elsie Trevor, seems innocent enough, but their history, that of a spirited pair of husband seekers, of their old aunt Alicia, of the gloves, the white gloves, is still gossiped about to this day. As our story begins, an era was drawing to a close. No ball, picnic, or lawn tennis party had been complete without the clever Miss Trevors. But they had not yet found a man to marry, and the military were moving out. Sweet Aunt Alicia, hovering in the background, had been a formidable local belle in her youth, but her fashionable match to a well-born captain of a cavalry regiment had ended in tragedy in India. He left nothing but debts, and poor Aunt Alicia. Now she resided in a back bedroom at Jasmine Lodge, frightened of the two sisters, and locked in her memories of the past.
I know what they are up to. They can't manage to hide it. They are basically stupid. The clever Miss Trevors. I don't think so. They are taking everything. But I have my memories. My memories of my girlhood here. And then... Oh, the blood. The blood on my green taffeta gown when I found him.
Yes. Even the most idyllic landscape can have its dark and sinister shadows.
Oh, Elsie, why do we have to put up with her?
Shh. I always feel she can hear us. She is a bit of an old witch.
Not really. Aunt Alicia is just a poor old woman living on her memories, boring us with them and being arrogant about how successful she was with men. So, why did he blow his brains out, I ask myself?
Oh, don't be cruel, Ethel. She was useful when we first came out.
She was useful, I agree, when we needed a chaperone, but we don't need a chaperone now. We're seasoned debutantes, to say the least.
Why are you getting so angry? It isn't her fault that we haven't managed to get a man, or that the military have finally decided to move out.
She's useless. She makes life worse, squatting there in the back bedroom.
As you always say, like a dressmaker's dummy. But she's not to blame. We keep her up there.
She'll last forever. We'll never get into that last trunk. She keeps the key on a chain round her waist.
And it isn't as if she could use the dresses again. Oh, if only there were some gloves. We need gloves.
Let's go up now and see if we can find anything suitable for the last military ball next week.
But she hasn't eaten.
She can wait. Come on.
Oh, the dust. I hate it up here. Aunt Alicia says there are rats.
There are no rats. She hears us.
Better tread softly. She is underneath, poor soul. Ethel, you don't think we're thieves?
Don't be stupid. Let's try the first trunk again. As far as I remember, there was a pink satin that might suit you. There is time to alter it.
Yes, here it is. Oh, it's lovely. Oh, it'll have to be let out for me. She must have had such a slim waist.
Well, she does say so. Frequently.
You know, even now she is quite attractive. Quite a few people ask about her since she disappeared.
We have to make sure we say the same thing. That she's too old to get about.
Colonel Fawcett knows her age. He was very attentive.
Well, he's leaving with the regiment, so we don't have to worry about him. For the others, we say, a trifle unwell, but nothing much. Repeat.
A trifle unwell, but nothing much.
You're so obedient, Elsie.
You scare me a little, Ethel, dear.
You know, I'm going to get into that last trunk if it kills me. It's no use.
It looks good on you, Ethel, with your red hair, the shimmering dark green. Oh, but see, here on the skirt.
What?
There's a curious stain.
Oh, hell and damnation.
Ethel.
Oh, it won't show if I'm animated, and I am. Anyway, benzene might remove it.
Ethel, benzene wafts over us like a cloud of perfume.
Yes, you may be right. I'll leave it. It won't be noticed if I move around.
And the gloves.
We'll get gloves. By hook or by crook, we will have gloves. New, pristine white gloves. The sign of a lady.
Aunt Stray, shall I...
No, I will. Aunt Alicia, are you awake?
Of course I'm awake. I can't sleep 24 hours a day, though you seem to expect that.
Nonsense, Aunt. I've come to chat to you, as I often do, and warn you.
Warn me?
No, don't be scared. Warn you, there might be a little noise downstairs, ce soir.
If you mean tonight, say so. I'd like to come down, if it is a social occasion.
Ah, I'm afraid you're not up to that. You look so pale and weak.
What do you expect of what you give me to eat? What is it tonight?
A poached egg. Not up to much.
Like me? Trouble in the kitchen, I suppose. You are not the finest employers, you and Elsie. Now, in India, we had hundreds of servants, all totally devoted
so
to us.
So you have told us many times. You've bored us for years with your tales. Why then did all this end in disaster? Your dear devoted husband shot himself, after all.
At least I had a husband.
Don't take that tone with me. Better try to be polite. You never know how things might turn out. We look after you very well so far.
I can't eat this rubbish. Oh, rancid butter.
It could get worse. I've warned you.
So, it's company this evening. But the military are leaving, aren't they? That would be a great loss to you both.
How do you know about that? You speak to no one?
A little bird told me. They did say I was psychic. I learned a thing or two in India.
Please hurry. I want a dress for the evening.
In your clothes? Or mine?
I told you we wouldn't touch your things.
But I hear you up there walking about. It is you. Or a rat. Why don't I see Elsie? Elsie is kinder than you.
Well, Elsie doesn't like coming up. She's sensitive.
Do I look so bad? Hand me a mirror. Please, let me see my face.
Come and get it. Come on. Leap out of bed. Get it from me.
Oh, please, I want to see my face.
Oh. I'm off now. Happy dreams. I hope the noise doesn't keep you awake.
Dream of your dear one, your youth, when you two were at parties. Dream of that.
Ethel, don't go. Talk a little longer. I'm not well. I need to see a doctor. Get me a doctor, Ethel. Oh, my God. I'm a prisoner. I will never leave this room. Oh.
So torture takes place in the most domestic of situations. Ethel and her aunt played torturer and victim, while passive Elsie was a bystander, observing and commenting, taking no part. Then the military left, marching away with funeral beat. The girls, the aging girls, were bereft. There was one slim hope left, Lord Frederick and his friend Arthur over for the fishing from England. It was the final chance for Ethel and Elsie to make a fashionable marriage. Nothing must get in their way.
They put on a good show, don't they, Frederick?
Hmm? Indeed. Strumming their small guitars. They tell me they made these Chinese lanterns themselves.
Hmm. It's an odd house, though, don't you find? They are a bit sinister.
It's because they're Irish. Mm. Celtic twilight, my dear chap. Mm. Can't beat Irish fillies, though, Arthur. Eh? Spirited.
The locals call them the clever Miss Trevors.
I can see why. Have you seen the eldest on the hunting field? Brains and courage.
Elsie's sweeter, more docile. They tell me there's an aunt. She used to be a great beauty in her time, they say. But no one knows where she is. Hidden away, apparently.
Mrs. Varley de Grey. Hmm. They've probably converted her into one of their Chinese lanterns. Dun her in, as the vernacular would have it.
Village talk is that they've either murdered her in her bed, or that she's gone off her head and can be seen walking in the grounds late at night.
Well, that only makes the sisters more interesting, eh? The place would be damn dull without them. Oh. Bravo!
Well, another successful soiree, Ethel. Did Aunt Alicia get her evening meal?
Oh, I took it up earlier. I slipped a little something into her wine. She drank it down at once.
A little something? Not permanent.
A sedative, dear, to keep her from sobbing and wailing.
Can we go up and look through the trunks? I can't wear any of mine again. My dresses have been seen by Arthur more than once. I must have something new to wear.
They're going back to England after the Great Ball. They seem keen, and yet...
I know. They seem keener when we're out of doors. Have you noticed?
I have. But I can't think why. We have to astound them, Elsie. We must get into that last trunk.
All right. Let's go up now.
End of the treasure trove. I'll have to force her to give me the key.
But Ethel, you can't force anyone to do something against their will, can you?
There are ways, you know.
Oh, maybe there will be gloves, and you won't have to do anything. Why are ours so soiled?
Men's sweat.
Nasty. No wonder we're always cleaning them. I'm getting worried about you, Ethel. You scare me when you're like this. It's like when you used to twist my arm and kick me and then say you hadn't done it. Look, try this on. The muslin will soften your features. We can work wonders with it.
That little soiled silk bag she always keeps round her waist. I'll get it somehow. We can't lose Frederick and Arthur because of her stupidity.
Forget about it now, dear. But when will we marry? I'm beginning to doubt.
Leave it to me.
But, Ethel, don't hurt anyone. Please.
I say, I don't like the look of the sky. There's nowhere to shelter, is there?
We could moor over there, by the trees.
Oh, don't be stupid. Anyone knows you should not shelter under a tree. You'll be struck by lightning.
She's right, Arthur.
Oh. Oh, Lord, it's teeming. Your dress! Ethel, it's
transparent. In the rain. That happens with muslin.
Oh, dear.
Steady.
Oh, my goodness. put my blazer around you.
Thank you, Frederick.
They are so dull, Ethel. Look how they reacted to the bit of fun on the river.
You mean the ultimate revelation of the wet muslin? All it did was put them off.
But I shall persevere.
We have a few days.
I think I'm getting a migraine.
That's because you know what I've got to do.
Be gentle with her.
I am a gentlewoman, sister dear.
I don't know why you knock, Ethel. I am your prisoner.
It's so fusty in here. Why are you wearing a shawl over your head?
I'm cold. Is it summer? Is it night? I lose track of everything up here. The drip of the rain annoys me. Monsoons in India were dreadful, but this is worse.
You must be used to it by now. Of course, I imagine you miss the sun.
Not just the sun. I miss people. Get me a doctor. I don't want to die up here alone.
The nonsense. Sit up. Take your tray from me. I'm in a hurry.
Oh, you're always in a hurry. What's in the wind, eh?
Why are you looking at me in that evil way? There's nothing in the wind. Elsie has retired to bed with a migraine.
The question is, will you get him?
Oh, drink your tea.
I will need that sugar lump to annoy you. I could tell you a thing or two.
I've had enough of your fabrications, Aunt.
Fabrications? And who's been the fabricator, I'd like to ask? Who's been so nifty with the scissors and needle? Who's been going hunting in my clothes?
Oh, what a fib. Those old musty, miserable bundles of things of yours. Would Elsie or I consider laying a finger on them?
Yeah. Oh.
It's only cast-off kitchen china, Aunt.
Rats in the attic. I've heard them. Rats in the attic. Where's my tea?
You've had it. Now, Aunt, control yourself. Listen, you said you could tell me a thing or two.
Not now. I'm tired.
Yes, now. There isn't much time.
Thistle, don't look at me that way, please.
Time went on. Lord Frederick, though forever promising, still failed to come quite within Ethel's grasp. Ground gained one hour seemed to be lost the next. It appeared that things went better for Ethel in the afternoons, in the open air, than at the dressier evening functions. It was when she swept down on him in full plumage that Lord Frederick seemed to contract. When they took the floor together, he held her at arm's length, with his face turned away, so that when she wished to address him, she had to shout. She told herself it must be the London style, but it piqued her nevertheless. She conjured up all her fascinations, but was something else needed to do the trick? It was then that she began to frequent her aunt in that dank little back room. Proud Ethel humbled herself to prize out the secret of how to capture the elusive male. Elsie, in mystification outside the door, heard the crazed voice of their relative rising and falling, with now and then a blood-curdling, knowing laugh. Aunt Alicia was back in her golden days. Suddenly the flow would stop and break into pleas, whimpers, jagged breathing, and the pitiful cry for a doctor.
You fool of a gawk coming, running to me to know how to trap a man. Wait till I show you beauty. Bring down those trunks of mine.
Oh, Auntie.
Bring them down, I say. I am about to dress myself up.
Oh, but I cannot. They're heavy. I'm single-handed.
Heavy? They came here heavy, but there have been rats in the attic. I saw you swishing down in my odonil.
Oh, you dreamed that.
Through the crack of a door. Let me up, then. Let us go where they are and look. We shall soon see. Let's take a look at the rat's work.
Calm down. Get back into bed. No. You're not fit.
When did your doctor say so? Oh. Oh, I'm so unsteady. I'm falling. Back
to the bend.
I will be quits with you.
Elsie, you'll be late. I'm nearly dressed for the ball. What are you doing with your head in that drawer?
Sniffing our old gloves. Our gloves that reek of benzene. I heard something awful today, Ethel.
Well?
Spit it out?
Lord Frederick has recoiled from that smell since childhood. That's why he holds you at a distance.
Gloves. I'm haunted by gloves. She was taunting me up there, Elsie, holding up her wizened arm and miming how she used to smooth her expensive white evening gloves on. The mark of a lady, she cried. Her gloves!
I'll go up and ask ever so sweetly to borrow the key of her last trunk. She might do it for me. Otherwise, my dear, tonight's ball is ruined. We must have gloves!
Watch the tongs. I want to crimp my hair. Don't let them overheat.
Oh, be kind. Please be kind. Look, I'll follow
you. Stay outside, then. That's an order. Auntie? Are you awake?
Mm-hmm. Now, I would like the key, Auntie, dear. There is the little silk bag. Round your waist, where it used to be.
No.
Have you hidden it? Tell me, or I'll shake the life out of you. Stop moaning. We want the key. Be quiet. The pillow. Under the pillow.
There. And a pillow.
Ethel? Oh. You look so odd. Why are you locking her in? Is she all right?
Dozing. She's dozing.
You are certain she isn't... I mean, if she was, we couldn't go to the ball. What's that you have in your hand?
She insisted on giving me these keys. Scurry on now, Elsie. You'll never be dressed in time. Use my tongs. They should be splendidly hot.
Alone at last, Ethel drew in her breath and with a gesture of resolution, retied her kimono sash tightly over her corset. She took the key from the little silken bag and gave a glance upwards towards the attic. The late spring sun had set, but an apricot afterglow, not unlike the light cast by a Chinese lantern, crept through the upper story of Jasmine Lodge. The cessation of all those rustlings, tappings, whispers and moans from inside Aunt Alicia's rooms had set up an unnerving hush.
Gloves.
Ethel set foot on the attic stairs. Under the skylight, she had to suppress a shriek, for a rat, yes, of all things, leapt at her out of an empty hat box.
There are no rats. But it winked at me.
However, she continued to steel her nerves and to push her way to the one inviolate trunk. The other trunks gaped and yawned at Ethel, void, showing their linings, on end or toppling, forming a barricade around the object of her search. She pushed and pulled, scowling as the dust flew into her hair.
Oh, there it is. Select, bridle, and on top the initials, EVG.
Ethel had the sensation of being watched by that pair of fixed eyes she had not stayed to close. She glanced this way, that way, backward over her shoulder.
I must go on. My future is at stake.
This last trunk had two neat brass locks along the front of the lid.
I can't open the second lock. I can't pull up the corner. What's this? Oh, a bride veil. A priceless lace. It's resisting me. Oh, I'll try. Oh, no.
She pulled again, but the stuff wouldn't come. It was almost as though it were being grasped from inside the trunk. She let go, and the lace began to be drawn back slowly, inch by inch.
What's that? A fingertip of a white glove. It's coming out. Oh, no. It's gone. I'm going to faint. The trunk is moving. It's opening. Without me unlocking it.
As the lid rose slowly of its own accord, Ethel should have fled. But oh, how she craved what lay there exposed. Layer upon layer in transparent paper of elbow length, magnolia pure, white gloves bedded in the folds of the veil.
The gloves. Beautiful gloves. Lord Brett, you are within my grasp.
Down on her knees again, breathless with lust and joy, Ethel flung herself forward onto that sea of kid, scrabbling, seizing. The glove she had seen before was now, however, readier for its purpose. At first, it merely pounced after her fingers as though making mock of their greedy course. But the hand within it was all the time filling out. With one snowy flash through the dusk, the glove clutched Ethel's hair, tangling itself in her black curls, dragging her head down.
I will be quits with you.
It was a marvel that anything so dainty should be so strong, so great, so convulsive was the swell of the force, that during the strangling of Ethel, the seams of the glove split. The shrieks of Elsie upon the attic threshold began only after all other sounds had died down.
Ethel! Ethel, what has happened?
The ultimate spark of the once famous cleverness of the Miss Trevors appeared in Elsie's extrication of herself from the awkward mess. The sister's reputation for warmth of heart was to stand the survivor in good stead, for could those affections nursed in Jasmine Lodge, extending so freely even to their invalid aunt, have culminated in Elsie's setting on Ethel? No. In the end, the matter was hushed up, which is to say, it is still talked about even now. Ethel Trevor and Mrs. Varley de Grey were buried in the same grave, as everyone understood they would have wished. What conversation took place under the earth? One does not know. Helping to tell the tale for you this week were Marjorie Westbury as Mrs. Varley de Grey, Kate Binchy as Ethel Trevor, Felicity Hayes McCoy as Elsie Trevor, Madhav Sharma as Lord Frederick, Joe Dunlop as Arthur, and the guitarist was Peter Bond. Hand in Glove was written by Elizabeth Bowen and adapted by Elizabeth Troop. The director was Peter Fozzard.